listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Great to be together, enjoying the presence of the Lord. That you're not alone. There's somebody else with you. If you're in a fire at the moment, maybe self-inflicted by bad choices, and maybe this service is really your thing, or there's just stuff going on around you where you just need to know that God is with you and He's in the middle of whatever you're going through. Whether it's we're there by our choice and poor decisions, or whether we're there by no fault of our own, God is there with us. And that's good to know, that we're not alone, that He's alongside us. So great to be here to, I was going to say tonight, this afternoon. I'm going to say hello to my wife who's online. Hi, honey. Love you. That gets me bonus points. Everyone else who's online, love you as well. But great to be with you. I'm here this week and next week as well. And then February will be down. But definitely getting excited about coming down and being here and moving back to Adelaide after 15 years. So that's all happening soon. But not soon enough. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave Cairns and be here. But I think that's when your headspace moves. It takes a while to get there. So I'm just going through the process of packing up and sorting out things. And I don't think Alyssa wants to go yet. She needs to finish her Year 12 exams, which happen at the end of October, first week of November. So if you could keep her in your prayers, that'd be awesome. I've got to turn this on. Is that right? Okay. Oh, I've gone way too far ahead. I'm going to try and do this. If I can't coordinate my speaking and this finger and that screen and everything, it might just be too technical for me, so I may end up getting Juju to take over. But we're looking at better decisions, fewer regrets. I'm looking at based on the book by Andy Stanley, a great practical book. Tonight's session is about the conscience question. Is there a tension that deserves my attention? So we're at that place, but it's a very practical book. And if you're in this book for theology, if you're in this book looking for the new creation message and the transforming power of Jesus Christ, you're not going to find it in this book. This book is practical helps on how to make good decisions. Written to a specific audience, I'm not quite sure why it is the way it is, but I would be putting that front and center in it. But as I've read through, though, I've also felt, though, this is good stuff. It's all Bible-based stuff. There are times in my life where I think I should have followed these steps and they would have helped me have some less regrets. And as Hayden said last week, I think if we're all honest, we all have some regrets. And we do have some things where we look back and go, man, I wish I'd done that different or better. So for those who are younger in life, we're looking at this and helping you move forward. For those of us who maybe you're in a habit of making some bad choices and you just keep finding yourself in the same place time and time and time again, this is a real helpful thing for you. Or in the middle of making decisions, very important stuff. So let's do a quick recap. I think Paul did this already, but I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page because these do lay foundations and you've got to get the first ones in place as you progress forward because they're all great questions. So the first question, well, good questions lead to better decisions. So for each one of us, the questions that we may ask in life actually help us make better decisions. Businesses know that. They spend a lot of money asking questions, getting people to think and look through stuff. Politicians, they want to know the questions. They're asking questions. And for our own lives, if we ask questions of people and of ourselves about the decisions we're making, we come up with a better answer. So we've got five questions. We're just going to look at the first two, and then I'm looking at the third one tonight. The first one was the integrity question. Am I being honest with myself really? I think Paul did a great explanation of this, that to make good decisions, it starts from a place of honesty. We need to be honest with ourselves. And if we're lying to ourselves or we can't be honest with ourselves, it just makes it very hard to make good decisions because and then the implications out of that was for us to actually look at, or make a decision to say, I will not lie to myself even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. And sometimes we don't want to face anything that makes us feel bad, but I'm actually going to face the truth, look at my part of this, deal with it. So when we make good questions and when we're honest with ourselves, it affects our purchasing, our relationships, our habits, all those sorts of things are affected by this. So being honest requires that. And there's a boat shop that I love to drive past on Taplis Hill Road and Old Port Road. And they used to have a sign, I'm not sure if it's still on there, but it says, "Your wife's called and said it's okay." So there's a lie. But if you go in with that, it's okay, wife said it's okay, let's buy. How often do we actually think, oh, it's okay, and we dismiss something, but we really can't afford it. We shouldn't be buying it, but we're not being honest with ourselves. I'd love to go into that shop one day and come out with a boat, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. So the second question was, so it starts with honesty. Second question was the legacy question. What story do I want to tell? And realizing that the choices we make now and the decisions that we make now leave a story, leave a legacy. And Hayden beautifully shared about his family and the choices that people, grandparents and great-grandparents made that left a legacy and a story that is even still being told today. And that they realize that our decisions aren't in isolation, but they're leaving something for the next generation and the generation after us, and that leaves us with a story that we can talk about. So, and I loved Hayden's thing on decision-making is worship. I don't know if that's exactly how you said it, but it's something like that. But I thought that is actually so beautiful and so important that we realize that the decisions that we make is part of our worship. So we play a part in the future that we create, the future that we walk into by the decisions that we make, and it is part of our worship. So I think decision-making is such a spiritual activity. We think, oh, worship is Bible reading, prayer, but the choices, the decisions that you make, it's a spiritual thing. It's such a spiritual activity. And the greatest decision to make in life, the greatest choice that we make in life, is the one of what we do with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the biggest and greatest decision of life. But that is a spiritual decision. But so are many of other decisions in our life. But it is the greatest decision that we make with our life, is what we do with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Do we accept that he was the Son of God? Do we accept that he walked this earth? Do we accept that what he said about himself, that he died for our sins and he rose again and was resurrected? When I lived at Dunstone Road, our neighbour used to have conversations with him, and he came to me one day leading up to Christmas and says, "This whole thing about Christianity, I had no problem with it, but I can't believe in it because you talk about a virgin birth. Can't believe in the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ, so I can't accept the Christianity and the Christian story." But that is part of the story of Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin to die on a cross so that you and I could experience the transforming power in our lives. What have you done and what do you do with the person and the work of Jesus Christ? I don't know all of you, so I don't know where you're at in your faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ. It's a critical decision and a critical choice that we need to make. It's such an important one. If you haven't made that choice to follow Jesus Christ, I encourage you to engage with him. And maybe you're not ready to say, "Yeah, I'm ready to believe and give your life to him and invite him into your life," but you're on a journey. Talk to people. Get this book that Paul mentioned. Read, research, discuss it with people. Maybe there's some people around you that you can actually inquire of. But ask questions. Ask the right questions about who Christ is, what he did for me, because he loves you and accepts you and wants to be part of your life. So let's get on to the third question. It's the conscience question. Is there a tension that deserves my attention? So it's paying attention to the emotions, the things, the reactions that we have when we're making decisions. I wish that sometimes I paid attention to that tension, that when I've received emails that have got me hot under the collar and I've shot off a reply without listening to, there's some tension in me, there's some frustration in me, and I didn't take the time to listen and I've shot it off and then I've pressed send and then I'm thinking, can I just pull that back, please? Can I bring it back? I think on like with your phone now, you can delete it from them and from you now, which is awesome, if you're quick enough for them not to have read it before it gets to them. But how many times have we done that without listening to the tension that's going on inside of us, listening to those things that are happening inside? So important that we pay attention to the tensions, the emotions, the reactions, the red flags, the things that are happening inside of us when we're making decisions. And sometimes we're in a hurry, we're busy, all sorts of things happen. We need to pay attention to the social, the cultural, and the relational cues around us. These things that are happening around us that are causing tension, and we need to be observing those and think, well, why is this happening? What decisions am I making that are having an impact in this area? Because they're a cue that maybe our decision needs to be looked at and addressed. If you're intoxicated, and I'm not sure of all of your stories, whether you've lived a life of drinking a lot or not, but no one ever says that they drank so much and then they made some great choices. I'm so glad that I was so drunk that day when I had to make that choice because I just made the best decision. No one ever says that. It's always, when you've had too much to drink, it's always decisions of regret, because we don't. A person who is drunk is not capable of judging the social things that are going around. They miss what the culture's happening. They miss the relational cues that are going around them. I know somebody who actually stabbed their friend who then ended up critical and passed away because they were both drunk and there was some tension between them that had been going on for some time. But in the middle of that drunkenness, he stabbed his friend and the friend passed away. So when you're drunk, you're not able to gauge these cues. But when we're sober, we can also choose to ignore them. We can make a choice to ignore the cues and the tensions that we have and just continue to forge ahead with our decisions. Not as drastic as that story I just told you, but when we first went to Papua New Guinea, we were living there. Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby is a rough town. There's a lot of criminals and they call them rascals and a lot of things happening. But I had arranged with one of our church members to pick up a basket for them. It was going to be a laundry basket, a handmade laundry basket for my wife. And it was just sort of to put all our clothes in. It was beautiful. It was a lovely basket. So I asked him he was going to make one. So he said it was ready. So I was going up to pick it up from where he was, but it's quite a notorious area. So I felt uncomfortable about driving my vehicle up there. So I went and asked somebody, should I take my vehicle up there and pick up the basket from there? And they're saying, yeah, probably not. So then I went and asked somebody else and they said, you'd probably be all right, and I'm still feeling uneasy. And I said, well, what if I don't take my car and I take another vehicle? Yeah, you'll be right. I've still got this tension going on. Dismissed it all, hopped in that easy loader, little ute, drove up there. On the way back, got held up at gunpoint, and they took the vehicle and the basket. And I then got picked up by our church, rang our church members, picked up by the people from our church members, and then we drove around the suburb looking for the vehicle for these guys who've got these guns who took the car. So that was freaking me out. But I ignored, there was all this stuff going on inside of me, don't go, not now. But I just kept putting aside, rationalizing it, saying, yeah, I can do it. But the Spirit of God was talking to me. My conscience, the Spirit of Christ was saying, now is not the time to go get that basket. But I put it aside and forged my way ahead and then lived with the consequences. How often do we do that? But learning to hear the Holy Spirit, and when there's a tension going on, are we all right? Yep. And the tension is going on, press the pause button. Press pause and pay attention. Press pause and say, just wait a sec. When that email comes and there's something going on, press pause and say, how should I respond here? The attention, why is this bothering me? Asking that question. Why is this causing me an issue? What's bothering me about this? And maybe a couple of those stories are small things that we've talked about, but when you're making a purchase, when there's conflict, when there's relational issues, that we press pause and just say, okay, what is bothering me about this decision? Whether it's a purchase of a house or all sorts of things, career change. If there's issues going on, not being pressured, not being forced, but saying, okay, I'm going to press pause. I'm actually physically pressing it here, I don't know why, but saying press pause and think, what's going on? Why am I feeling these things? What is my reaction to this? Taking time to let the Spirit of God speak to you. Let yourself work through the logic, work through the emotions, work through the issues. Sometimes that tension can be created by our mum and dad, our friends, the Holy Spirit. We need to think, okay, well, if I make this decision, then I know there's going to be tension with mum and dad when I go home and tell them. If I make this decision, there's something going on with me because I know that they're not going to necessarily agree. So working that through, is that a right? Is it wrong? What's the thing going on? But our parents are a good place to have a gauge from. What are the implications from this to my family, to mum and dad, or to our kids? If I make this decision, what's the implication for them? So they can create a tension. It's not tension with them, it's an internal tension for us. Say, well, okay, if I do this thing, what's the tension being there? Or our friends. We have a friend and, you know, maybe you've got a girlfriend and that girlfriend, all your other friends, there's a tension between you now because of the girlfriend. And they all say she's bad for you, she's not good for you, she makes you into a worse person, but you refuse to listen to the tension, the social tension that's going on. I don't know if you've been there and done that. Need to listen to the people around us, what's going on. And then obviously the Holy Spirit, the leadings of the Holy Spirit, those things of, okay, what is the tension here? Is he guiding this? Is this a Holy Spirit tension, or is it coming out of my own fears or doubts or concerns? Sandra and I, a number of years ago, made a significant financial decision. And as we were going through that process, I logically worked it all through and thought it was all a good decision. But as it came up to making that decision, I started to freak out about it. So I actually rang my mum and dad and talked to them through it. I said, this is what is going on in my thinking. So I'm trying to work out, there's a tension here and I have to deal with it. So I'm actually starting to talk it through with them. And I'm trying to work out, is this just me being fearful and not willing to step out? And like with any big financial decision, there's always some level of risk. I'm trying to work out, well, is it the Holy Spirit telling me to stop, or is this my own fears and my own insecurities and my own worry and stress coming out? And as I talked it through, I got to a place of, no, this is actually my own internal issues. It's not a tension like the Holy Spirit saying stop, but it's actually something I had to, but the process of addressing it and looking at it was good for me. In 1 Samuel 24, there's the story of King David. He's not king yet, and it's in the book, and we'll just pick it up a bit. But there's have we got it up there? Not yet. Okay, so this is working. I'm almost there. I'm doing all right. I'll get you to score me later on my technique of using the controller. There's a story of David, and he's in a cave with his men, and King Saul is hunting him with 3,000 soldiers, and Saul needs to go to the toilet, and he's the king, so he stops the army. He goes up into a cave in the middle of the desert in these mountains. I don't know if you've seen the footage of the Afghanistan with the helicopters. I think that's probably sort of, and you see all these dry mountains with just these mountain ranges. It would have been something like that, and then there's caves all over the place. So Saul picks a cave and goes into it. It just happens to be the exact cave that David is in. And David's men are telling him, David, this is what God promised you. This is it. This is your opportunity. Your enemy has been delivered into your hands. Go kill him and you're going to be king. The opportunity is right here. David is crawling up with the knife in hand. And the scriptures don't tell us this, but Andy Stanley in his book sort of starts to extrapolate it out and just think what's going on. And I think he's probably right that David is crawling up with the intent to actually kill King Saul. But somewhere between leaving the back of the cave and getting to Saul, there's this internal tension within him. Maybe the thought of, what story am I going to leave behind? Is this the right thing for me to do? Is this an integrity thing? And by the time he gets from the men to Saul, he's changed his mind and says, I will not kill the king. Just cuts a little bit of clothing off, a little bit of his cloth off, and heads back down. And then it says in verse 5, afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off the corner of his robe. I think you'd be going, I'm a good man, I didn't kill him. Good on me, yay. But he's not even championing the fact that he didn't kill the king. His conscience and the Spirit of God is so strong in him that he said, I shouldn't have even touched his robe. I shouldn't have cut his robe off. But his men said, and then verse 6 it says, he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay a hand on him, for he is the anointed one of the Lord. But in my logic, your logic, we would say, well, I'm anointed to be king. I've got a word from the Lord, and he's here. I've got the knife. I can do him in, and now I can save my life and not have to run and hide anymore, and I'll be king. Seems logical to me. But something in his spirit said, no, this is not the way for it to happen. A couple of chapters later, David has another opportunity to have put a spear through Saul as he's asleep on the ground, and he tells his men, don't do it. There's no conscience thing here. He says, just don't do it. He's heard from the Lord. He will not kill the king. Then, by the end of the book, we hear Saul's killed in battle, or killed, injured, and then puts a sword through himself, and David becomes king. Why? Because he listened to his conscience. Who knows how the story would have ended? What story would have he told his grandchildren? Granddad, tell us the day when you killed the king, when you murdered a man, when you took his life when he was on the toilet. Like what sort of legacy, what sort of integrity thing would there be left for him? So he says, no, I don't want to tell that story. The Spirit of God spoke to him. So important for us to know when there's tension going on that we pause, we wait, and we work out what is the Spirit of God, what are the promptings that are coming our way. The Apostle Paul, he said this in Acts 24, verse 16. He said, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. I strive to keep my conscience clear before God and man. A clear conscience is such a blessing. A conscience that is able to hear the Lord. A conscience that is clear from guilt and shame, condemnation, from conflict. That he can say, oh, I've done all that I've done with a good heart and good motivation, with good choice. He's kept his conscience clear. That's Paul writing. In Hebrews 13, verse 18, it says, pray for us so we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live nobly in every way. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, pray for us. Because sure, our conscience is clear, and then with a clear conscience, I act in a noble way. When we have a clear conscience, we do act with honor. We act honorably. We act with integrity. We act with in a way that lifts others up and suits others. In one last scripture in Hebrews 9, verse 9 and verse 14, talks about the conscience as well. And our conscience is such an important part of our decision making. And if we allow our conscience to become a mess, and that we temper it and we push it aside and we don't listen to that voice, whether it's the voice of the Holy Spirit or a voice of experience, we push that aside, we end up in trouble. But there's a promise here for you and me. Because maybe you've made some choices where you know you've burnt your conscience, where your conscience isn't as clear as you would think it should be. But there's a promise here for the work of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ that comes and cleanses our conscience. Because if you're like me, I live with some regrets. There's things that I think, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done those things. But I can actually, they don't have to continue to determine my future because of the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 9, verse 9, it says, this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts of sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. So that's saying in the Old Testament, there's all these pictures of the Old Testament, the goats and all the sacrifices and all the worship that they did, and they killed for the unintentional sins and the intentional sins. They killed the lambs and they sprinkled them and they did all this stuff, and it cleaned and cleansed them, gave them a clear conscience on the outside, but it didn't deal with the inside. All of that stuff didn't deal with it for them. But then verse 14, how much more then would the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. How awesome is that? That the blood of Jesus Christ, that in the Old Testament, they were able to cleanse the our external, but Jesus Christ, the perfect sin offering for you and I, is able to cleanse our internal conscience, which leads to the sin life and to the things, life of death and destruction, the things that we don't want to do, so that we can live a life, so we may serve the Lord by serve the living God. How awesome is that? That our conscience can be clear. And if you struggle with a guilty conscience, or a conscience of shame, or a conscience that's saying, oh man, this is there, and it's constantly there in you, and it drives the decisions that you make, it drives how you feel about yourself, well, there's a promise here that the blood of Jesus Christ has come to cleanse, to come to give you a fresh start, come to say, look, I can deal with that for you, so that those things of the past don't have to continue to drive you forward into the sins of the present. Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit's good for you. No matter what the consequences may be. One last story. Many, many years ago, when I was the youth pastor at Seton, down at the Christian Family Center, we had this great big bonfire. And it was a big fire. And probably wasn't the best time to light the fire, but I lit this huge big fire, and the youth thought I was the best youth pastor in the city. They're all very excited for it, and it was just so big that eventually the fire brigade came and put it out. It was huge. It was melting the paint off the clean away bin that it was next to. It was that hot. So they came, they put it out, and I thought, oh, this wasn't very good. Then got one of the youth running to me saying, the police are out the front. So I go out and see the police, and they start talking to me. Oh, come and show us where the fire is and show us what happened. And they just said, did you see anyone suspicious running around who lit the fire? And then I have a conscious choice. I have a choice to say, no, didn't see anybody. Or I have a choice to say, well, yeah, it was me. And I paused for a moment and then thought, no, I better fess up. Regardless of what the consequences will be, I'll take the integrity way, do the honest thing, and say, no, yeah, that it was me that lit it. They said, they shook their heads and called me stupid or something like that, and they left. But I had a choice right there. Would I just cover it up, just say no, or just follow this prompting? I need to fess up to this. So I did. And said, yeah, no, that was me. No, and that there might be a fine or there might be consequences for it. There was consequences. There was a relational issues for that for me for many months to come. Our pastor at the time, who's still the pastor there now, didn't speak to me about the topic for 6 months. And it caused tension with all of our neighbours around us. And we were in the process of trying to get approval for the shed at the time. So it wasn't the great time. It was a bad decision. But in the midst of that bad decision, I still thought, no, I've got to fess up to my stupidity and the thing that I did wrong. So listen to your conscience. Your integrity is not worth destroying over not listening to that prompting. There's so many ways the Spirit leads us. So finally, just to conclude, that we would make a commitment tonight to say, well, I will pause even when I can't pinpoint the cause of my hesitation. I don't know what the hesitation is. I don't know what the tension is inside of me, but I will pause and I will wait. I won't rush ahead. And I'll explore rather than ignore my conscience. Or whether you want to put that as the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But I will explore those things. I'll look at those things, and maybe they will be a warning to say, no, don't go. Or you'll look at it and go, okay, no, this is the right way to go, but you'll deal with the things that are going on around you. So making better decisions, listening to our conscience. Why is there tension within us? And sometimes we know that that's not what we should be doing. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I just thank you that you want us to make good decisions. And I pray that tonight, as we've talked, that if people feel guilt or shame about the choices that they've made in the past, that promise of Hebrews that you come with your precious blood and cleanse, you come with your precious blood and purify our conscience, and so that we can continue to serve you freely and with love and be in relationship with you, that we don't have to live with the past things carrying a burden forever. But Lord, I also pray for each one of us that we would learn to pause when there's tensions going on around us, when there's an internal pressure, that we would learn to pause and wait. Say, okay, I'll just wait and see. I'll just wait for the what should I do? Why is this causing me tension? Whether it's relational or emotional, or there's things going on, Lord, that we would say, no, I'm not going to rush into a decision now. I'm going to wait and resolve this and listen to this so I know that I'm doing what is right and what is your will for my life. So, Jesus, I just pray that we would be a group of people that are known for being people that make good decisions, but absolutely confident, Lord, that when we mess up, when we make a hurried decision, when we make a pressured decision, that there is a way back. There's repentance and there is a way back to you, to actually making things right. And we just thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay.